Welcome to the Government Technology Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Langan. And today we're speaking with Jim Walker, who's the federal CTO and director of public sector marketing at UiPath, which is a leading enterprise robotic process automation software company. And Jim will be sharing his insights and perspectives into how federal agencies can advance their digital transformation efforts, as well as citizen satisfaction and productivity, and much more. And Jim, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, great to be here, and thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. And let's jump right in. So federal agencies have certainly invested heavily in digital transformation to bring citizen services to the people. Though despite the sophisticated front ends, there's still a lot of rote and tedious work that agency employees have to complete. And from your perspective, what impact does this have on budgets, productivity, as well as citizen satisfaction for agencies?
So Matt, it's an interesting position right now. I spent 32 years in government. About 10 of that was in the Army as a field artillery officer and got out as a major, and then 22 years in technology with several different agencies. And a lot of times vendors would come in with a great amount of hype. You know, this is the silver bullet. It's going to solve all your problems. But what I personally felt during that 32 years was every day that passed, I was spent more time feeding the beast of technology. And, you know, enter data here, enter data there, move data over here, answer, respond, build a report, fix the report, look at it, view it, visualize it. And so over and over and over. And so your question asked me what I thought, and I'm going to change that and tell you what the government seems to think. Right? In less than or right at three short years, more than 75 government agencies are using the UiPath software. Just yesterday or day before yesterday, which was around the 26th or so of August, USDA actually published a website dedicated to their RPA program. They put out the metrics that they are measuring their RPA by and their return on investments, the amount of time that they're saving, the amount of efficiencies that they're gaining. Yes, the amount of dollars that they're saving, but the dollars aren't quite the same in the public sector as they are in the private sector. If I save money in the public sector, I then have that money to reallocate it to more mission critical activities than where it's at now. And USDA is just one example. A few months ago, before the pandemic started, the Air Force has a program called Spark Tank. Spark Tank's a lot like the television show Shark Tank, with judges up there, you know, making investments. And the Air Force Personnel Command, based out of San Antonio, Texas, had a major who was a captain at the time and a young tech sergeant who found the different versions of RPA vendors that are out there. This tech sergeant settled on UiPath, downloaded it, looked at our education stuff that's on our academy site, and created a bot and showed it to his command. The command was so impressed by what the bot would do, which was simply to save their hundreds of personnelists the activity of changing orders and issuing orders, and anytime there's a movement order, making a change to that, to where the major and the tech sergeant presented to these sharks saying, if you would make a $900,000 investment, we anticipate saving more than $50 million for the Air Force.
Wow.
Now, that's a huge statement. And that's not a statement by me saying it's a great thing, because you would expect me to say it's a great thing. This is USDA telling the world, look what we're doing with this. We've retrained in USDA 50 government employees, not 50 government technologists, while some of them could have been, but 50 government employees that are now prepared to be more valuable to USDA as technology becomes more prevalent in USDA. And the Air Force just completed what was called the Digital Wingman's Challenge, where 125 airmen from across the Air Force built automations that they thought the Air Force needed. Not the top down, here's what you must have. And so the state of robotic process automation, and even what Gartner calls hyper automation, is very strong in the federal government right now.
Wow. Yeah, it clearly shows that there's a major need for it, but also the outcomes are tremendous. I mean, the cost savings and efficiencies are just off the charts. And in many ways, I think you answered my next question, but I'll throw it out anyway, and we can dive a little bit deeper. And it's pretty general. You know, is there anything that agencies can do to improve their productivity and citizen satisfaction? Maybe we'll Maybe we'll dive in a little bit more on the citizen satisfaction side, if you will, then.
Certainly. So I'll give you a great use case. And again, to me, the story is what the government's saying. Out in the Fort Worth area, there's an organization called Army Air Force Exchange Services. It's, for a lack of a better description, the Target and the Safeway grocery store for the Department of Defense. And so if you were in Kuwait with me in the first Gulf War, you saw an AFI sign. You got your what was called pogey bait, your treats, your shaving gear, extra towels from them deployed in the desert with us. Or you go to any military installation and you have a commissary and a PX. They started a program just at a year ago. And their pilot program was to save $1.4 million. And on our podcast with them about a month ago, Deborah Zarks, who was their VP for business development and their technology, said, Jim, when we realized we had saved $8 million and not $1.4 million, we changed our whole perspective. And the reason why that's an important story is the money that AFES makes above and beyond what they need to operate, it's automatically rolled back into the Army post and the air bases across the world, where they give money to the Child Development Center, to the gymnasium, to the morale welfare park where benches are created and that for soldiers and their families to take a break. So that value of RPA has nothing to do with the technology. It's the fact that it does work. It's working more efficiently and effectively than anybody thought it was, other than us. And so they're seeing the results faster. Over at the General Services Administration, another great agency that is using it internal to the GSA, in addition to them being the leader of the federal RPA community of practice, they built a bot. And by they, I mean they retrained and reskilled CFO people, people who were doing regular finance activities are now building automations. And one of those automations was around the Payment Act. Government has a policy, there's law, that the federal government must pay within 30 days an invoice to a private sector company doing business with the government. If they don't, the government agency is fined. Now you could say, well, they get fined, so what? They get money from Congress. No, that money comes out of their operating budget. It's a 2% interest fine right now. So if an agency were to spend $500,000, $2 million, $3 million in fines over a given year, that's $3 million that comes out of the mission budget. And the team at the CFO's office over there with James Gregory and Gerard Bedorg built this bot that now tells them, hey, we have one that's coming due in a few days. Hey, nobody's taking any action on this right now. Here's the status of this right now. So it's really preventing the spending of money on non-mission activities. So will it save them money next year? No. But it will prevent them from yet again spending money on mission money on non-mission activities.
Wow, these are some great examples here across the board that you've been sharing today. And, you know, this year has been a strange year for pretty much everybody and most people around the globe with the COVID-19 pandemic. And from your perspective, what has the pandemic revealed about the importance of automation today?
So it really has served as a catalyst to people who were looking at RPA. So 3 years ago at NASA Shared Services Center, I was working there. Our team put in the very first robotic process automation bot. We called it George Washington since it was first. And the George Washington bot over the last three and a half years has spawned this growth of 79 other agencies. But some agencies were really, you know, saying, well, I see them doing it, but I don't think it's, you know, they're not need to be as secure as we are, or they're not quite like us as another agency. So we should check this out. Well, we saw that in a lot of states, especially. And yet, state of New York, the county of Suffolk, they were in the middle of the pandemic where nurses were being asked after they put in their pandemic shift to go downstairs and enter data in so that they could track patient information to develop some type of data-driven, you know, answer to questions. In addition to that, the county commissioner actually had to go down and enter data. And that is that data entry is what I was talking about, feeding the beast. And they said, wait a minute, we saw this product called robotic process automation, and we need to call that salesperson back and say, can you really help? We went in there, and according to the CIO of Suffolk County, they spent about 4 days building an automation that freed those nurses to go home after their shift and to rest and come back ready to treat patients. It freed the county commissioner to go back upstairs and do other things for the county. And that's one example. This Georgia had a food stamp issue. They're using robotic process automation now to automatically renew food stamp recipients so that their human staff in the office can focus on new people coming in, requesting food stamp and SNAP assistance. And then at Center Customs and Border Patrol, when the pandemic first started, there were freight and inventories and things that needed to be done in such a way that they didn't have the staff to do it. In the middle of the pandemic, they, along with Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services and Department of State, all realized that RPA was something that they had been looking at, but they now needed, but couldn't react fast enough. And in every instance, it has reacted in 3 days and in 5 days and in 4 days and has been deployed and is working for them now.
You know, outstanding. Again, there's just so many examples here, you know, across the board that RPA really works, you know, from the civilian side, the defense side. It's pretty mind-blowing. And your insights are really awesome today, Jim, and we really appreciate your time. And before we sign off today, is there anything else to add or anything we may have missed?
Yeah, so I will tell you, so the White House has a great policy letter out from OMB 1823 that tells agencies to use it. All the examples I've given you and this $50 million here and the $40 million at USDA, those are all 1% of the 99% problem that robotics can help with, right? All of this artificial language or artificial intelligence, machine learning, chatbots, and all this new stuff that Gartner calls hyper automation all revolve around RPA. So agencies really, to me, NASA and GSA and DASA FIM over in the Army, they put their toe in the water. And the Defense Logistics Agency and CMS and other agencies, they kind of waded up halfway. The water is warm. The value of swimming is known. It really is time for other agencies to say, what's that big program that has been killing us in the press? What's that big program that our citizens, if we could automate it, would feel like we're the Uber? That we're the Netflix. We're bringing digital to them so that they can have a better experience. It really is time now to automate and the opportunity to bring more citizen development in, to broaden the value of not only RPA, but the whole digital workforce that so far and in the near future is not taking any jobs. It's taking tasks that you never wanted to do, but was absolutely necessary for you because there was no alternative.
Outstanding. Outstanding. What a great way to end this podcast. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Government Technology Insider podcast interview with Jim Walker, who's the federal CTO and director of public sector marketing at UiPath, which, as you heard, is the leading enterprise robotic process automation software company. And as you heard, Jim shared his deep dive insights and perspectives, as well as examples of success when it comes to RPA for federal agencies overall. And Jim, thank you so much for your time today.
Again, I appreciate it. Thanks for having us. And I hope that some of your listeners learned a little bit about RPA.
Awesome. Thanks, Jim.